that a vote for Joe Biden is kind of mandatory. In other words, get Trump out of there, get Biden in the White House, and then we'll go on from there and do whatever needs to be done. But that seems to be the choice we have right now. It's either, you know, it's either Trump or Biden, and if you're in a swing state.
But again, I can write in Senator Sanders. That would be my choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can do that. I don't think it's going to change the election any, but you can do it.
Well, if enough people would do it, maybe it would. And thank you for your time. Thank you very much, and I like what you're doing. Okay.
Thank you.
Boris is on the line.
Boris is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hello?
Hello, Boris?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning. Go ahead.
I want to strongly support your call for cross-pollination at KBOO. Our favorites that were already mentioned with their opinions go totally unchallenged, and there's so much misinformation out there now that's, you know, continually propagated in the mainstream, and Abe and Joe seem to support the status quo mainstream on a regular basis, that if there was actually cross-pollination, they wouldn't be able to just state stuff and then walk away from it without a challenge.
Well,
and
you can,
it would
you
open up
call
a
their show. You know, I mean, you can call in their show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've experienced the same thing that Dale has.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, anyone who has an opinion that goes unchallenged can feel safe in that opinion, and nobody learns anything as a result, because, you know, there's people that are lazy and they'll just take whatever comes to them. They won't do their own research. And, you know, to really flesh out a particular issue. And the cross-pollination idea is a good one, because I've been listening to KBOO for many years, and I really get the impression that a lot of the programmers never listen to KBOO. And to me, that seems rather hard to explain. I mean, why not listen to KBOO? Listen to what other people are saying, and then, you know, have a legitimate dialogue. Intelligent conversation is just so hard to come by these days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think KBOO could do a service to the community by providing some intelligent back and forth with cutoff. You know, if someone opposes your idea, then talk about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of talented people doing shows on KBOO, you know, including Joe and Abe. I mean, they do their research. They present their facts, and I think they deserve to be heard, and they deserve to be answered. Everybody deserves to be heard and deserves to be answered. I would like to see just more dialogue. So you have a lot of intelligent people, but somehow their paths don't cross often enough. Put it that way. Anyway,
yeah. Well. Yeah, I'm here. That was my main point. I would like to see this brought up at a board meeting or something, especially by someone like you who is a programmer. I just think it needs to happen, especially now. I mean, this
is
a critical time, and to have something like that where there's intelligent conversation back and forth, it would stand out in the media, because there just isn't anything like that right now.
Well, I think the place to bring it up would be the program committee. And things are with this virus thing going on, you know, the station is kind of shut down. But it used to be that anybody could attend these program committee meetings and raise these issues. And in fact, anybody could attend three meetings in a row and actually be on the program committee. Now, the program committee is still operating, but I think it's sort of they're operating from their own homes and contacting, they're having meetings via telephone or something. But that would be the place to bring up this, you know, to raise this issue. I'm not sure exactly how to do it now with the, you know, with the shutdown for the coronavirus?
Well, I've made my point. It needs to happen, mm-hmm. and I would like to see KABU be the pioneer in this area, but it seems that there's politics involved in KABU too, so I guess you always have to deal with that.
Well, but, you know, Doctor, I gave you a possible avenue of raising the issue. You know, contact the program committee. You can do it by email, I believe, and go on from there. I think it's a good issue to raise. But anyway, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Anyway, here we are. You know, it's only a few months between now and the election day, and it looks like we are being offered a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Although there are ways to here in Oregon, Oregon is not a swing state. Oregon is sure to go for Biden in the November election. So it'd be safe if you want to vote for a third party or write in somebody else, whatever, you can do that safely without having to worry about giving the election to Donald Trump. Now, if you were living in a place like Michigan or Pennsylvania, that may not be the case. But here in Oregon, since this state is so heavily Democratic, it's pretty safe to vote your conscience without having to fear the return of Donald Trump. I don't know. Do you think Donald Trump, folks out there listening, do you think Donald Trump is going to be brought back, returned to office, reelected? I've heard. I read the papers and I read the news online, and big division of opinion on that. Or sometimes it looks like he may get reelected. Especially, this is one of the things about this whole Russiagate business, is that there are so many horrible things that Donald Trump has done and has said, and for the Democrats to concentrate on this so-called Russiagate affair seems to be the weakest possible argument in their favor. They're passing up all kinds of good issues with Trump and pushing this Russiagate thing, which is falling apart. As I mentioned before in this show, that it turns out that the CrowdStrike, the security company that handles this investigation, they are backing down from the assertion that the Russians did hack the DNC. They're saying it looks like they did, as you know, but they will not just come out. They will not come out and say so. And so, but the Democrats, some Democrats, keep pushing this issue, and I think it's the weakest issue of all against President Trump, and it's likely to put him back in the White House. So, folks out there listening, what do you think? What would be your big issue against President Trump? I can think of all kinds of things. It's very easy to talk about his generally his rude and obnoxious personality. But having said that, I think there are some deeper issues going on, and one of them it may come to a head possibly very soon, is that the U.S. has put sanctions. Well, okay, the U.S. has been trying to overthrow the Venezuelan government now for quite a while. This issue began before Trump took office, but since he's been in office, the U.S. has been stepping up its move against Venezuela. There was this kind of weird little kind of Junior Bay of Pigs type invasion where the invading forces were quickly rounded up, and now the Iranian tankers are going to, oil tankers are going to be arriving. They would be bringing oil to Venezuela. Seems kind of odd that Venezuela, which is a very oil-rich country, should be in need of oil, but apparently they are. Venezuela does not have that many refineries of its own on its own territory. A lot of their refineries are located in the U.S. Venezuela owns this Citgo oil company, which I think has been kind of put under U.S. control, been taken away from Venezuela. So anyway, Iran has been sending oil tankers to Venezuela, and
we have two callers.
Secretary Mike Pompeo has been talking about intercepting these tankers, but we have a caller on the line. Hello, you're on the air.
It's Bill.
Hello, this is Bill.
Hey, hi, Bill. What do you got to say?
Well, I would just like to comment on the election process and how we get presidents shunted towards us, or candidates. And I would, you know, the old saying of America, the business of America is business. Well, I'd like to just a quick excerpt from a book by the man Terry Reid and John Cummings titled Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. And this is written in 1994, and in Chapter 17, it brings us to 1986, Camp Robinson Army facility outside of Little Rock, Arkansas, a World War II ammo bunker. Oliver North, Bill Clinton, Felix Rodriguez, and resident CIA agent Akid Sawata, and agency subcontractor Terry Reid, and the man in charge, alias Robert Johnson, also known as William Barr, our current Attorney General. The covert operation to remachine off-the-shelf semi-automatic weapons to full auto and to supply them to the Contras. This was done under the cover of the Arkansas Economic Development and Finance Authority. Barr proceeds to dress down an indignant Bill Clinton, who has been accused of skimming excess profits from the agency. Barr is in charge of the meeting at the bequest of William Casey, who as head of the CIA could not risk being present. As special assistant to Casey, Barr proceeds to inform Clinton that if he wishes to realize his political future, he will play by their rules. He then goes on to explain that with their resources, they sway elections to their advantage. And then that brings us...
Go ahead.
That brings us to our the current sitting president. I don't want to call him my president. I would proffer that Trump is a made man, a stooge of the deep state. And if you would see Donald Trump and Resorts International, 1987, you will see how Donald Trump has keyed in with these casino resorts that are part of a front company run by the CIA and the Mossad. And this is Donald Trump's foray into building casinos.
So what you're saying then is that Donald Trump is kind of a is sort of actually a stooge to frighten people into voting for Biden. Is that what you're saying?
Not so much as a stooge to frighten people into voting for Biden, but the reason we have the man as a president is that he's been anointed, so to speak, and he met with a certain criteria that appeals to a broad enough spectrum of voters that we're stuck with the guy. And I would say, yes, voting for Biden, anything to get the man out of the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just sign off by saying, if you look at the actual definition of Trump, it's the playing card of the suit chosen to rank among others a valuable resource that may be used especially as a surprise in order to gain an advantage to devise fraudulently Trump up, an earlier variation alteration of triumph.
Okay, well Well, what was the name of that book again?
Compromised.
Compromised.
Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. And I'd be more than willing to loan you my loaner copy.
I think I got a copy of that, as a matter of fact. But, listeners want to get that information, that's where to find it. Well, anyway, thanks for your call.
We have a message about the program committee. You can find information on the website. Just run a search for program committee on KBOO's website.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
and we have a caller, too.
Okay, we have a caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Me?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, very good. Well, there was speculation why...
What's your name?
Why Russiagate...
What's your
name? Russiagate. The name's Jack.
Jack, okay, go ahead.
There's speculation about why Russiagate, and it's pretty clear. Adam Schiff is heavily funded by arms manufacturers in California, and a new Cold War is what should I say? It's a great gift to them. Let's put it that way. Not that they need any more, but they always want more. So it's not a complicated conspiracy theory or conspiracy reality even. It's just there, and it's pretty easy to find. You can get a lot of articles on it actually. Adam Schiff is deeply involved in ginning up this new Cold War, and it's just there, you know. It's something you don't even have to dig too much to find, you know. So a new Cold War is what we got, and a lot of my left liberal progressive friends continue to share on social media all these memes stooging up Trump and Putin, as you know, Putin pulling the strings on Trump, etc., and so on. And I have to remind them, I said, look, you know, there is no love lost for Trump here, that's for sure, but what you're doing is amplifying this new Cold War. And as Stephen Cohen of the writing for The Nation, very highly esteemed expert on Russia, has warned many, many times, this new Cold War is far more dangerous than the last one.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, yes.
Well, hair trigger stuff, you know, things can just happen on any number of fronts. It's just a scary thing to be pushing. And, who's to gain? You know, who's to gain from it? The arms manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless things blow up, and then
we all. Well, it seems to me that you have two groups of warmongers in charge. You know, the Trump people, they seem red hot to go to war against either China or Iran, and now Venezuela. Where the Democrats still seem to be focused on poking the Russian bear, so that's the kind of choice we're faced with.
I'm not sure it's an either or choice. You know, it's time to de-escalate this on both fronts.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
of course.
Call out these warmongers for the insane characters that they are. And I don't know what, encourage de-escalation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a Max Blumenthal article right now, How Russiagate Helped Secure Dangerous Arms Deal. It's on the gray zone. That's where Max writes most of the time. It's not hard to find. Easy to Google up, Russiagate Helped Secure Dangerous Arms Deal, Max Blumenthal, The Gray Zone. And he goes into quite a lot of detail about how Schiff wondered aloud, is it possible? But it is also possible, maybe more than possible, that there are not coincidental, but disconnected and not unrelated, and that the Russian Russians used the same techniques to corrupt U.S. persons that they employed in Europe and elsewhere. I mean, I don't know if you know, I'm sure. I know that the characters that have been brought up as being the nemesis here on there on KBOO, Abe and Joe, they won't even talk about it. I don't even know if Abe even acknowledges that it existed, but you know what Gladio was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gladio, this whole series of Bader-Meinhof and Red Brigades and all these guys running around blowing stuff up in Europe, and they were always the bad guys, and we got to go get them. And, well, look, the Russians are coming, so we better double down on our defenses. And not only that, get all these communists who've been elected to parliaments in Italy and France. Better get rid of those guys because they're the enemy within. This is the kind of stuff that's going on, and they're doing it again.
Well, I think Gladio started out to be a kind of when NATO was, dealing with the Soviet Union, this is sort of their fallback, that if the Soviets ever invaded Europe, which I think was not a real fear, but it was a fear that was promulgated by the establishment, but the idea was that these units, military units, would be kind of left behind undercover to kind of...
Yeah, the stay behind network.
Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah, stay behind network, they have caches of arms around, and if the Soviets come in, then they'll fight a guerrilla war against them. Yeah, that was the plan, and then it never happened. So what are we going to do with these guys? Well, let's make some useful terrorism.
Well, the Soviet Union no longer exists now. Now Russia is under control. You know, it's a sort of a capitalist, semi-democratic country, very nationalistic, and I don't think Russia has any great interest in invading Western Europe. Their interest seems to be working out an arrangement with China to rule the Asian continent, but so there we are.
Yeah. Okay. So there we are, and if people want to look up, for example, what's being called Gladio B, sort of the second generation of Gladio, there's a huge series on it from James Corbett at the Corbett Report, where he goes into great detail, and he's dismissed by many as a conspiracy theorist. He calls himself a conspiracy realist, but he footnotes and documents everything. So if you see one of his podcasts, for example, where he's talking about like the global war of terror as being Gladio B, for example, every point he makes is footnoted in his show notes. So you can follow up and check. You can check him up on everything he says. So he's a good resource for this stuff. If you're not aware of him, and maybe some of your listeners are, maybe not. It's James Corbett, the Corbett Report.
Hey, thanks for your call. I might
you
just
bet.
Say that this whole thing about conspiracy theories is one of my pet peeves. You know, it's a phrase that's used so very often. You know, something is a conspiracy theory. Well, so what? I mean, there's nothing mysterious about conspiracies. All they are is when two or more people get together and plan to do something either criminal or immoral or whatever. And so if you want to find conspiracy theorists, go down to your local courthouse, because the nation's district attorneys are... prosecuting conspiracy, purported conspiracies all the time. And any crime that involves more than one person is kind of by definition a conspiracy. So to call something a conspiracy theory doesn't really say very much. There's a big difference between, you can't lump them all together anyway, you know, like... the big difference between, say, the President Kennedy assassination and the idea that some kind of alien beings from outer space have invaded the United States. I mean, they yeah, they may both be conspiracy theories, but you know, one is sort of completely fabulous, and the other is got a lot of evidence behind it. So don't be fooled by the term conspiracy theory. We've sort of been trained to kind of put down anything that can be labeled that, and it's really a kind of a false notion, because there's nothing mysterious about a conspiracy. What's mysterious is why people have been trained to be to kind of roll their eyes every time a conspiracy is mentioned. But show is getting near an end.
Jerome is on the line.
Who's somebody on the line?
Jerome, yes.
Jerome on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. I'll make it quick. I just had four quick points that mostly reinforce what's already been said, but I wanted to agree with your opinion about Russiagate. Over 2 years, we've been propagated this by the major news media, and it's an absolute balderdash. You know, anybody, and there are a lot of authorities, like most of which you've already mentioned, Aaron Maté, Glenn Greenwald, Max Blumenthal, Matt Taibbi is another one who has absolutely exposed this. And as far as, you know, Adam Schiff, I'm definitely not a Trump supporter, but, you know, Trump's characterization of Schiff as Shifty Schiff, not far from the truth. People have already mentioned on this show about his very offensive posture towards Russian. And of course, he was famous for the recent quote about, we need to take care of Russia before our election next time so they don't we don't have to take care of them over here, as if Russia was intending to invade the United States. And, you know, I was a little disappointed in Noam Chomsky recently. He was on, I think, Democracy Now!, and at the end of the show, he made the oft-mentioned remark that we should vote for Joe Biden, because really a vote for against, if we don't vote for Joe Biden, we'll get you-know-who in the White House. I have a difference of opinion regarding that.
Well, you could argue, you could argue that Trump is so horrible that, you know, just vote for Biden, and then we'll take care of any bad stuff Biden might do. I mean, it's a strategy. Whether it works or not, I don't know, but it's not an outlandish idea. But go ahead. You said you had four
yeah.
points to make.
Yeah, no, I agree. I won't meddle with that remark at all. But the final point was that, you know, everybody thinks that the common thought is that Trump is such a friend of Russia. Well, no, I think if you look at Trump's actual record, he hasn't done much at all that would endear him to Putin. For instance, he does not favor the Russian. Of big importance for Russia right now is the gas line that they want to start through Afghanistan and the Far East, and they really want to propagate their Gazprom, and Trump has absolutely gotten in the way of that. Trump has also negated the INF and the START treaty, which flies in the face of Putin. Trump has also backed, you know, action against Venezuela, which of course goes directly against Putin. So there's no evidence whatsoever that Trump is loving Putin at this time. That's pretty much all I had to say.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, Putin has his own faults, but I don't think anything that's happening in Russia can be solved by putting NATO troops on Russia's borders. You know, Russia's going to have to deal with its own affairs. It's going to have to resolve its own problems with democracy, and the U.S. Warmongering certainly doesn't help. I think this, you know, the U.S. has other plans for Russia besides making it more democratic. You know, we saw that when Boris Yeltsin was president of Russia, and he gave Western investors kind of a free playground to go in and buy up Russian assets very cheap. That's where some of these oligarchs came from, and made a lot of money doing that. And the Russian economy came close to being destroyed. It really took a hit under Boris Yeltsin, and then in 1996, the U.S. Took over Yeltsin's campaign for re-election, and finally, when Yeltsin stepped down, that's when Putin took over, and he kind of undid all this damage. So that's one reason why Putin, for all his faults, is still very popular in Russia today, because people, especially people who are old enough to remember those days, they remember what it was like when the West was kind of in charge of Russia. Russia was almost destroyed, and Putin came along and he stopped that process, and he is still... I guess, never been forgiven by these Western interests. You know, so there we are. We are at 9:59. Show is ending. Want to thank our callers for their comments and everything. Stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59 a.m. Thank you.